Everyone, welcome back. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Shua Allegra, the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, and where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. And so we're talking all about resilience, and I have a new friend with me today. Welcome, Ellen Violette. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so if you want to just kind of open up with sharing a little bit of who you are and what you do.
I am a book coach and strategist, and my company also has author services. And I've been doing this for 17 years. And before that, I was in the music business for 20 years. I'm a Grammy-nominated songwriter.
Awesome.
And when that kind of fell apart, because I had a world-class studio in the house I grew up in, and my parents both passed away within 11 months of each other, and I had to sell the house. So when I had to sell the house, I lost my way to make a living. But my husband and I ended up having to fix that house because it had been severely damaged in the Northridge earthquake. Anybody who was in LA during the 90s might remember that. And our street looked like a war zone. And anyway, so we did that and we made quite a bit of money on that. And then we thought, okay, well, we wanted to come down to San Diego from LA because I just wanted to get away because everything, I mean, I had grown up there and just too many memories. So we came down to where we live now. And it was right when the real estate market was taking off. And so we started buying, fixing, and selling houses. And that was really fun for a while, but then the market got too hot and there was nothing to buy and nobody would give us financing. So we went back to Los Angeles at that point and took a property management job just to stop the bleed, the money that was going out, because we didn't really know what we were going to do. And that was the point at which I got online and I said, it's time I have to write a book, because I knew that I'd always wanted to write a book. But then in the middle of when we'd moved back to LA and we're living in this property management job place, what happened was I got really sick and I almost died. And I lost like 30 pounds in a month. Everything was toxic. I just couldn't keep anything down. And Western medicine could not help me. They just didn't know what to do with me. And my husband got online and found this doctor. Her name was Dr. Sherry Rogers, and she described my symptoms as environmental illness. I just become allergic to basically everything. And so this book saved my life. And so, I knew I'd always wanted to write a book. And then thinking about that, it was like so powerful. Like what an impact you could have from writing a book, number one. And number two, it was on my bucket list. And you think, well, I'll do that someday. And then all of a sudden, you don't know if you have someday. And so that was really the wake-up call for me. Yeah. So I got online. I found a New York Times bestselling author and I sent him some of my writing. And I said, do you think I would be any good at this? And he said, oh, yeah, you're great. You just have to start sending stuff out on spec. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I did that for 20 years in the music business. And your life is totally out of your control. You're totally at the mercy of other people. This was before video. This was before you could be Justin Bieber and so and get a deal. So I just didn't know. I just didn't want to do it, basically. And I think there was part of me that was also scared. It was like I had no idea how to do a book proposal. I didn't want to face any more rejection. I had been through plenty in the music business, even though I had my Grammy nomination. I still did not make much money. And there was still, I mean, if people think that they get rejected in internet marketing, it's nothing compared to the music business, So anyway, so that was it. So I decided I would keep looking. And then I found this thing called ebooks. And, this was 2004. And I thought, oh my God, I mean, you can write a book and you can sell it directly to your audience. And there's nobody who can tell you, no, you can't do this, or we won't publish it. It's like, that's amazing, So I said, that's what I'm going to do. And so I started looking around for a coach, and there weren't any on that really knew digital marketing. But I found a book, and I found the other thing was it was an email course. And I thought, that's all there is on this? This is crazy. Anyway, so I started writing my book. And at that around that time, my husband and I were starting to go to conferences and, you know, learning internet marketing, because mm-hmm. I knew we needed to do that if we were going to sell online.
Yeah.
And we went to this thing called the Big Seminar, which was the big deal at that time, the big conference. And I couldn't believe there were no ebook coaches. There were no, and there were no wow. book coaches. There was, nobody was there.
And that's, thought, this is 2004. Crazy.
Yeah, 2004. Wow. Okay. So this is crazy.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, this is right up my alley. I mean, I'd always been writing mm-hmm. you know, something. I started writing, you know, journals and stuff when I was like 11. So I thought, maybe I could do this. And at the same time, I was really frustrated with what was out there mm-hmm. and I wasn't getting the help I wanted. And I thought, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I'm going to figure out what it is and I'm going to teach it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And as you're talking, you know, it's beautiful to hear when people been through so much and instead of letting it crush them, they reinvent themselves through it, you know, and like you, I also got back and maybe like, yeah, I was writing before, but I started taking my writing more seriously after the health crisis. I had a stroke at the age of 33 and just like, see, I'll write someday. Then it's like, I don't know if someday, I don't know what will happen someday. So
right, exactly.
I need to do it now and make it happen. And yeah, and so that's when I started writing and just like, you know, start publishing and start doing it for others. So I applaud you again for, you know, finding again your purpose, you know, through and reinventing yourself for all these crises, you know, like, and think about just like you shared earlier with, you know, the house where you grew up and, you know, that was, you know, your studio and that's how you made a living. And from losing that, not only just the grief of losing your parents, you know, within these 11 months of each other, that's a lot. Then you lose your livelihood, right? Then you move.
I lost my livelihood and I lost my family. We got in a huge fight over the estate and you know, people took sides. So, I mean, it just was, went on and on. It went on for like almost a decade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so that was really hard. And then there were all kinds of lessons that I had to learn once I started the business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I grew up very sheltered. I had done very well in school. Mm-hmm. I had always gotten whatever I wanted. I got good grades. I got into the schools I wanted to get into. I graduated from UC Berkeley with honors.
Mm-hmm.
When I decided to go to graduate school, which it's a long story, but I was in architecture. I ended up being a very bad fit and I split. And that was another lesson in resilience mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I became agoraphobic because mm-hmm. I hated it and I felt trapped.
Wow.
And eventually I just had to break free. I had to just tell my parents, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I had to leave my boyfriend who I thought I was going to marry. I had to leave his family who I adored
mm-hmm.
and I had to start over. But there was a reason I was telling you that though. I forgot what it was.
Right. We'll come back to you, but that's more about you that, you know, that you get to show.
Oh, I was talking about resilience. I was talking mm-hmm. about resilience. But then, you know, when I got into this business, because I was naive, basically, as I was saying, I did very well in school.
Mm-hmm.
For me to get into an architecture school was unbelievable because I had no background in that,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they were looking for people from social sciences that they wanted to get mm-hmm. into architecture to help with the human side of it. Although once you got there, they ignored the whole thing. So, but anyway, I got into UCLA. So that, I mean, that was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I never really had to deal with anything, you know, like scholastic or anything going wrong. And so I assumed mm-hmm. it would be like that in the business world as well. And I had no clue, mm-hmm. no clue. Mm-hmm. So when I started my business, it never occurred to me that I couldn't do it. And when I wrote my first book, it didn't occur to me that I couldn't do it. And I thought it was great. I mean, years later, I look at it and go, it's terrible, you know, but I had a high opinion of myself in those days because I'd been writing all my life. I thought, you know, I mean, it wasn't bad. It just mm-hmm. wasn't great, you know, great. And of mm-hmm. course you learn more and then you do better.
Right. Right.
But what I didn't understand was how much failure you have to learn to deal with in entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't realize was how the market changes all the time, how you have to be flexible, mm-hmm. how you have to keep investing in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I invested a ton of money in the first few years. I took an SBA loan
mm-hmm.
and that turned out to be a really big mistake because what they don't tell you is most businesses don't turn the corner for 5 years and they start asking you for $1,200 or $1,300 payments in 3 years. And so that, you know, that was terrible. And then I got breast cancer in 2008. And then the recession hit. I lost half my business. My husband got sick. I mean, it just went on and on and on. And so, like I said, and so there were a lot of lessons to learn. And, you know, at one point I was doing really well, actually. We were living in Redondo Beach, like literally across the street from the beach. We'd go and walk on the beach every day. Awesome. But I was doing really well and we never missed a payment, you know, a rent payment. And then all of a sudden I was working with this guy and he was telling me that we were going to get this contract and I was going to make 15 grand. And I kept believing him and he was so sure it was going to happen and I didn't have a backup plan. And then it didn't happen. And we ended up getting evicted. And then when my husband got really sick, we ended up bankrupt. I mean, and then we couldn't get credit. I mean, it just snowballed and snowballed and snowballed. And the only thing I can say is that I just kept going. You know, I just kept going. I just, I kept, you know, how do I do this? How do I do this? There's got to be a better way. What am I going to do? And I just kept trying things and they just did not work for a really, really long time. And part of it was I had to wait it out. I had to wait it out till the bankruptcy, you know, played itself out and I could get credit again. The eviction, I just had to kind of wait things out. And, you know, we did become homeless at one point. It wasn't our fault. After we got evicted, you know, the first time, we ended up getting an apartment that was actually, it was a mansion up in the hills, in Woodland Hills, a suburb of LA. And they had six apartments underneath and they were not up to code. So all of a sudden the neighbors got mad because there were all these cars on the street clogging up the street. They called the city and everybody got kicked out. But at that point we didn't have the credit. We didn't have a way to get a new place basically. And so then we really became homeless. I mean, I know what it's like to have all of your belongings, you know, or most of your belongings. We had, well, we had a lot in storage, but I mean, the stuff that we had with us, you know, in the car going with you, you know, going to a hotel and having to schlep all your stuff in on the gurney. And it's not like everybody else's because you've got, you know, all this stuff. So, you know, we did that for a while and we were just trying to find a place. And then finally we found a guy who would take a flyer on us in Palm Springs and we just didn't want to do it. It's like when it came right down to it, it's like getting our furniture there from LA, it was going to be a big schlep and we didn't really want to be there. So I kept going on Craigslist and I kept looking for other opportunities. And finally I found this temporary place in San Diego, which is where we are now. And it was supposed to be temporary. I thought maybe we'd be there 6 months. We ended up staying there 8 years. And, you know, part of it was just that they took care of, you know, we had maid service. And we had, you know, we had people to kind of take care of us and, you know, we were, I'm older. He's way older. He's, my husband's 91. He's 22 years older than I am. And so it was, it got really, you know, cushy there. It was just easy to stay. And we were so exhausted from moving around so much. But what happened then were a few things. One was that COVID hit. And at that point, it just got a little crazy there. Like people were getting out of control. You know, we would hear, you know, people yelling at each other like really late at night. And then they decided this is a great time to upgrade the patio. So they would be jackhammering the time, like right outside our window. And finally it just became, it became intolerable. And so I said, we just have to move. We just have to get out of here. And when COVID hit again, I lost half my business. I mean, I lost all my referrals. Most of my business was referral and all of a sudden I wasn't getting any. But it was very serendipitous that I had decided that in January of 2020 that I was going to spend that year really working on my skill set, really updating and learning more. And I did that because in 2018, I really had hit a rock bottom. It was like, am I going to quit or am I going to do something different? Because this just has not been working for the last several years. And it wasn't that I wasn't making money, but it was still a struggle. It just wasn't, it wasn't fun.
Yeah.
And at that point, I went to a mentor of mine. And at that point, I didn't had very little cash. But that's when you need help the most.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what you mean.
Right. So I scraped that together and I had a call with him and he said, start a podcast. That was in 2018. I'm backing up a little.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I'll start a podcast. Well, he told me how to do it. And I started to do what he told me to do. And I spent like 9 months on this thing and it just didn't feel right.
Mm.
It just was not, I don't know, something in my gut just told me this just isn't going to work because I wasn't into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was calculated. So I scrapped the whole thing and I started over and I did the podcast I wanted to do. So that started in 2018, but I wasn't totally committed yet. And then in 2019, I'm a lifetime learner anyway. I mean, it's not like I wasn't learning before that, but it was 2020 when I really decided I'm investing in myself again, like more heavily,
right.
You know, like some serious coaching.
Yeah.
So in the middle of 2019 was when I got serious about the podcast and I've been doing that ever since. And what was really great about that was that people started saying to me, like my guests started saying to me, God, you're such a great interviewer, or I love your voice, or all these things. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like,
I didn't notice that before, right?
Right. Well, you don't know sometimes that you're good at something. You're just, it's natural for you or it's something you enjoy. And then somebody said to me, God, I've been on all these podcasts and this is the first one where I really feel like it's professional. And I was like, wow. I mean, and this is a guy who makes a lot of money. So I was like, damn, you know, that's great.
Yeah.
So then you start getting a little confidence, you know, because you lose your confidence when I hit the rock bottom in 2018. That was because I hadn't done my signature program in 3 years because I had gotten into doing bestseller launches and all my clients were number one bestsellers, but then I hadn't done my writing one and I was kind of missing it, you know? So I decided I'm going to give it again. And I only got one person signing up and I was devastated in 2008 because I thought after 3 years, I should have a lot of people ready to do this again.
Right.
So I worked with her individually and that was really the impetus for me to say, I have to change or I just have to quit. And I really didn't have an option to quit. Because what else am I going to do? I had to work.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy what I do.
Right.
I just had to figure out how to make it work.
Right. You know? Right.
So I spent 2020 learning and I took a couple of coaching programs. And it was just really great that so many people started doing all this great work online.
Mm-hmm.
All these 3-day events, all these challenges.
Right.
And I just soaked it up. You know, I just took everything I could that I felt was what I needed for what I, you know, for where I wanted to go. And so that's what I did. And then in 2021, I started implementing it. So I started doing challenges and my boot camp.
Nice.
And and by the end of the year, I was back up to 5-figure, you know, by the beginning of this 5-figure months. And so that, you know, has been really gratifying because it's been a long time. It was a long time coming. But it really showed me a few things. One is that you just can't give up on yourself. I mean, you just have to keep going. And it's like, you know, keep going or die. I mean, what, you know, I don't know. You know, I could never go back to making $5-$10 an hour. I couldn't do that. And I just had to keep asking myself, you know, do I like what I do? And it's like, yes, I do. I'm just frustrated that I'm not doing it very well. So, and then also accepting that things change. Like what I realized was I had been angry and bitter because I'd spent all this money. I'd given so much and I felt like I was getting very little back for what I had put into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've won awards as a book coach and, you know, I've been on major stages. I spoke at Mega Book University with Mark Victor Hansen. I've been a guest with J. Conrad Levinson. I mean, all these big people. And then all of a sudden my business was just not happening.
Yeah.
So you go, what the hell happened? So that's the things that I would say to people is, you know, you have to keep believing in yourself. You have to keep searching until you find that thing that is the spark that makes you want to keep getting up in the morning. Surrounding yourself with, you know, good people. I have great friends.
Good.
And then, you know, in your business, networking and hanging out with the people that have a positive mindset, but also who have money. Like, part of the problem that I didn't realize was that when I started, I charged very little, mm-hmm. which most people do because you're learning, right? You're still learning it, you're refining it and all that.
Right.
But when you reach that point where you're charging more premium prices, but you're still marketing to those people and they don't have the money or the mindset, mm-hmm. your business goes down the drain.
Yeah.
So you have to up level who you're hanging out with if you're going to scale your business.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was really
good lesson there.
Yeah. So that was a big thing that had to happen too.
Yeah. Oh, so much wisdom. So much wisdom. Yeah. And I think as if you're talking, so what I kind of gather is, you know, for nuggets, you know, for others, mm-hmm. as you face challenges, you know, don't give up, right? Don't let it crush you, but then find ways that you can keep doing better, right? And ask yourself, what do I need right now? How can I improve with this? How can I reinvent myself? And you've been in this continual, you know, process of reinventing yourself over and over again, and to find what it is that you love to do. And even in that, you keep learning. So to become resilient, you have to keep learning, you know, and then, like we say,
expand your circle. But you also have to surround yourself with people even you when you don't.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I had already been successful, and I mean, there were lots of people who believed in me mm-hmm. and probably thought I was doing better than I was mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. But the point is that when I didn't believe in myself, I had other people who believed in me, and that helped too.
Yeah.
Because you go, well, if they believe in me, you don't want to disappoint them, mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you think, well, maybe they see something that I just can't see right now because I'm just so far in the weeds that I can't see it.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah, it's what I call it. You lean in to borrow somebody else's confidence, you know? Yeah. So borrow somebody else's self-esteem, borrow somebody else's strength, because we all need that, especially when you're going through crisis. It's like, you know, all you can see in front of you is the problem, right? And sometimes you need someone else, you know, you need to lean on someone else's vision of who you are and where you're headed to kind mm-hmm. of find that momentum to keep moving forward.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, and one of the things that the podcast did mm-hmm. was it really taught me about the consistency mm-hmm. and the persistence, because I got really discouraged at one point. I really did want to give up. And one of my coaches at that point said, just keep doing it, just keep doing it. Even though it looks like that, I said, okay, I'll just keep doing it. Well, right now we're coming up on 5,000 downloads. I mean, I couldn't have imagined even getting that far.
Awesome.
And yet there's part of me that's still frustrated. I want it to be way bigger, you know? But the truth is that it has momentum. Mm-hmm. Like, it took me a lot longer to go from 2,000 to 3,000 than it took me to go from 3,000 to 4,000 and mm-hmm. now 4,000. It's getting faster. So I'm interested to see, you know, what happens.
Right.
But and then you can get sidetracked because people are doing it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, oh, your way doesn't work.
Right.
What you're doing doesn't work. What my way works, right? Mm-hmm. And what I learned about that is that you have to do what works for you. Like, I love talking to people like you. I love meeting new people. This is mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah.
And I love having people on my show and learning about them. And so it's a good fit for me, because mm-hmm, I just mm-hmm. really enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep doing it because I'm liking it, right?
Right, right.
Whereas there are other things where I find myself resisting, and like, it's hard because I just don't want to do it, you mm-hmm. know?
Then it's not fun, like you said earlier.
And it's not fun. I'm trying to get better. I mean, like, I just mm-hmm. don't love doing videos where I'm just talking. Like, mm-hmm. I love this, you know, when it's back and forth.
Right.
But I don't really like videos where I just have to, you know, sit there, look at the camera and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I also know there's some great opportunities right now that I have to do video to take advantage of. So I'm testing the waters.
And it's okay to do that. It's a good tip for entrepreneurs, like being true to yourself, you know, and not always doing what everybody's doing, because everybody's not you, right? And yes, learn what you need to learn to grow, but also don't lose, you know, your identity, your personality, your preferences as you pursue your business.
Right. And sometimes, like, when you find something that you love, like finding out that I love the podcast, and you go, well, is there more that I could do with that? Like, mm-hmm. I was on a Clubhouse and this woman was talking, and she is on Sirius Radio. And mm-hmm. then they were talking about being radio hosts and, you know, getting to millions of people. And all of a sudden you go, is that maybe something I'd like to do? I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So just by being open, you don't know what's going to lead to what.
Right.
If you let it.
Yeah, being open, I think, is the key. So don't give up. Reinvent yourself in a crisis, in a larger circle, where at least someone has says, belief in you and someone's confidence. But then, like you said, too, it's, be willing to try new things, being open to possibilities.
But also being consistent with something. Like, you got to publish regularly. It has to be at least one thing that you do consistently.
Right.
So that's what the podcast taught me, was yes, I can be consistent. Like today, it's a really good example. I'm in a course. Mm-hmm. I'm always in a course, but I'm in a course. And the instructor isn't really good about giving us a lot of notice all the time. So this morning I get up and I see, oh, they're doing a call today. And
you're like, that was not my schedule.
Right. That was not on my schedule. But I thought, the podcast has to come out today. I really wanted to come out today. I don't want to be late. I wanted to come out on time. So I just didn't go. I mean, I have access to it. I can watch it later. And I could feel there was kind of that fear of missing out for a little bit.
Right,
and then I finally
FOMO,
just kind of let it go. It's like, I have to keep my priorities straight. And I think that's another thing that's often difficult for entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to go, oh, I want to do this. Oh, I want to do that. I mean, I have a list a mile long of things I want to do, but I can't do them all right now.
Yes. Yes. Oh, don't we all? And I know when I first started in business, same thing. It's even like today, I was actually telling my VA the exact same thing. She's like, well, we have this, content that we never got back to. I said, we can't do it all. Like, what's the priority for today? What are we trying to promote right now, or to get out right now? That's where we spend our energy. That's where we spend our time. That's where we spend all of our resources.
And then sometimes you just have to let something go. So and when you're a type A, that can be difficult. And you want to be perfect and all that kind of stuff.
It's
just not possible.
Yeah, it's not. We're human, right? Always, pursue excellence, but then you let, tangle yourself if you want, with perfectionism, because that just, it just doesn't help. Most of the time when that's how you see things, you end up being frustrated with yourself. And if you're frustrated, then that just brings your momentum down. It makes your motivation down. Then you're not as productive as you could have been if you're just going to win with the flow and do the best in everything you do, but also, making room and space for just being human.
But also, I want to go back to the thing about failure.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't understand that failure is just lessons learned. Mm-hmm. You learn the lesson. But here's the problem, or the challenge, is that when you don't know what went wrong, you don't know how to fix it. You start doing the same things over and over, and it's like hitting your head against the wall. Mm-hmm. And that's why you need a coach. You need somebody who can look at it from the outside and tell you why it's not working, because you can never find what's working, not working usually yourself, because you're too
close to it.
You're so
connected to the issue.
And again, that goes back to, and that's when you don't want to spend the money, because you feel like you're struggling, but you have to. And that's where the whole thing about taking risks comes in. You have to. I mean, you can't be an entrepreneur and not take risks.
Right. There's no way around it, period.
Right.
No way around it.
Right. The problem with that is that I took too many and I took some that I shouldn't have taken when I was younger. And again, because I was naive and I didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. Now I know better. The problem with that is that if you're, older, like we are, me and my husband, you don't always have years and years and years to get it back. Mm-hmm. And that, that can be a problem. But so you really have to, that's why you need a coach even more.
That's why you need a coach to help you take those calculated risks, right?
Right. You want to take calculated risks, and you want to make sure that you don't take risks that are too big for where you are in the life cycle.
That's a very good point. And that third eye is necessary. What someone looking from the outside in can kind of help you, identify those, those risks that are worth taking for the season that you're in. And when you get, the more you grow, the more risk you take, the bigger risk, I should say, you take, right?
Because you do. I mean, sometimes when I'm studying Facebook ads, and when they talk about these people spending, $50,000 a day on ads, or $100,000 a day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm not at that place yet where I can imagine spending that kind of money. But I know if and when I get to that place, it will be terrifying. There's no question.
I think each stage of entrepreneurship is terrifying, right? It's like, it's almost, babies trying to walk, they're sitting up, then they're crawling. But every time they take that first step, or they take that first crawl, it's like, oh my goodness, they're going to fall, right? You see on their face, and you as an adult, you're like, staring at them as well. But then they do it, and like, oh, now we can walk. Now we're going to run, right? And now we can jump. So I think it's the exact same thing with, you know, being in business. It's yeah, you're going to have to take those risks, and every risk is always scary. I remember the first yes. one I first started, I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, can I even do this, right? Now not only, you know, everything falls on me per se, like you kind of have the, feel like you have the weight of weight of the world on your shoulder, but then like, oh, there's nobody else. When that weight falls on me, where do I lean, right? Who do I lean on? And it's like, it's just me. No, what was I thinking, you know? But then you find this mentor. That's why it's so, so important. I tell this entrepreneurs all the time. I had the same conversation this afternoon with another woman in business, and she was like, "Well, I don't think I'm ready to hire a VA yet because I can't make the expense." I said, "Well, what are you already spending money on and time on and wasting money and wasting energy because you don't have the help, right?" It's like my wrist literally hurts from being online all the time. I'm like, I guess you just answer your own question, right? If someone could take that for you, social media for you, for example, where else could you invest that time and energy to produce more income for the business?
Right. But speaking to clients, I was just talking to a prospect, I think yesterday actually, and she wanted me to guarantee that there was no risk, basically. She had already spent money. She had already spent money with somebody, with a publishing company. She evidently didn't do her due diligence because they were not really that reputable because they were charging her for editing, which they shouldn't have been charging for if they're taking publishing and a bunch of other things. Right. But the point was, because she spent that money, now she comes to me and she says, "Okay, well, I'm not selling books. Can you help me?" And I said, "Absolutely." And all I had to do was take one look at her Amazon listing. And I told her, three or four things that were wrong with it that we could fix. But she wanted to say, "Well, then will I sell books?" And I said, "Look, I don't know if you're going to sell books or not. I don't know who else is selling books at the same time as you. I don't know what categories they are. I don't know what their numbers are, but I can tell you right now, the way it is now, you're not going to sell books. I mean, you have to start fixing this. And then once it's fixed, you still have to market. I mean, I think people think that if they have a book and they put it on Amazon, and even if they set it up right, that suddenly it's just going to sit there and sell itself without you doing anything. That's not how it works.
People will come. No.
That doesn't mean that there aren't people looking for your topic that will go to Amazon, do a search and see your book, but you still have to market. And so one of the stories that I love is, M. Scott Peck, who wrote The Road Less Traveled, and he marketed his book every single day from the time he wrote it 12 years until the day he died. And it stayed up there because he was out there promoting all the time. Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield, when they did Chicken Soup for Your Soul, they went on a radio show every single day. So that's what we were talking about, consistency and persistence. But if you go and you spend money on something and it only gets half done or it's not done right, then you have to decide.
That's not the next coach's problem either, right? They can't blame you. That's not the next coach's problem. They can't blame you, the new coach, for what was not done previously either, right? And I know you come with all that hurt and all that frustration, but they can't dump it on you as the new coach, right?
No, well, they do in the sense that then they want a discount, right? Then they want me to fix it and not make them pay a lot of money because, because they already did, but it's, but I can't do that. So, they have to decide what it's worth to them. But like I said, I must have said, five times, she must have asked me five times, will I sell books or, is it risky? And she was like blown away because when she said, "Well, will I sell books?" I said, "I don't know." And she said, "Well, if I do what you just told me, will I sell books?" And I said, "I don't know."
Right.
I don't know. I just know it's the first step. This is what you got to do.
Promoting is so true. Like you're so right though. I think, I see it in my own clients. I was literally just pulling out a sales report earlier this evening. And I'm like, there's no sales there. And for, certain people, and I'm like, well, they have not been promoting the book at all. They can't publish it. We help them with the book launch. You kind of give them strategies, did a whole marketing, shebang as we call it. And then they just seem like, oh, the book is out there, cross their arms, life goes on. I say, well, then that's what happened. The book is out, it sits there. You do a good launch and, you make it to the number one, best-selling list. And then after that, you have to keep maintaining it. Everywhere you go, keep talking about it. So the
That's
ones who
right,
do
you
well are the
do.
ones that are always talking about their books. And then when you have multiple books, it's any conversation that I'm part of, any opportunity I get that relates to anything I've written about, I always know, talk about it. Like just kind of throw it out there as part of the conversation, you know, and it makes a difference. Be like, oh, you, I didn't know you write books. Oh, I didn't know you wrote about that topic, you know, but that keeps, you know, yeah, keeps you not only, you know, your work out there, but it also keeps, you know, you connected to people in a more relevant way. And you're always seen as an expert because you're adding value and providing a resource that people need, you know, everywhere you go.
Well, I have to laugh about what you just said because I'm working with one client. And the other day he said, he wrote me and he said, well, we got off the topic and we have to get back to, you know, marketing my book. Well, what I was telling him to do was to network. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Because you want to get on other people's lists. You want to get in front of other people's people and mm-hmm. leverage that. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him to be consistent, right? Right? And getting on podcasts and creating a schedule so that he did it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, okay, well now how many people did you talk to this week? And he said, 18. And I said, okay, well, how many did you sign up? And he said, I didn't sign up any. I mean, we were just talking. I said, what do you mean you were
what
just talking?
What was the purpose of all that?
what do you mean you're just talking? Like you didn't talk about, you didn't like move the conversation to what you even do?
18 new people in the week and you didn't say anything about your book. Like, come on.
or what he does. He didn't say anything about anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Kind of getting into that business mindset, right? For all of us. It's like, you know, yeah. I think one of my coaches, you know, told me years ago, said, if you had a cure to cancer, you will not hide it under your bed. You will be shouting it from the rooftop. Everywhere you went, you want everybody to know that you have something that can help people, you know, help cure cancer. So right. Think about it, your business, you know, your book, you know, provides a much needed resource for people.
Absolutely.
Why are you not sharing with people? You're doing yourself and the world a disservice by hiding, you know, your genius. And yeah. So that stuck with me. That's why, like I said earlier, every conversation, if it has anything to do with anything that I do or I've done, I'll bring it into the conversation. Cause you know, we do what we do. Yes, we have, you know, lives to, you know, to attend to, and we need the financial benefits of it. But most of us, first and foremost, cause we want to make a difference, you know, we're going to this with our hearts. So if I want to make a difference, how can I be hiding what I created to make a difference and not share with the world?
Well, that's the other thing that you were saying, you know, about cancer and you'd be shouting it from the rooftops. One of the big issues that so many people have is somehow that fear that they're being sleazy. Mm-hmm. You know, if it comes off like they're selling instead of sharing their enthusiasm.
Yeah, there's a difference, right?
Right. Yeah.
Difference.
Yeah, their enthusiasm, their excitement, and just wanting to help people. And when you do it from a very real place, mm-hmm. I don't think mm-hmm. people think that you're being shady or
Right. And it's not like, you know, telling people, buy my book. Right, that, you know, that's being salesy. People be like, okay, that's enough of that. But if you're in a genuine conversation with someone, you know, this afternoon I did a podcast on inclusion. And as they're asking me questions, I would just say, well, that's actually something that I talk about in this book, right? And, you know, there's more tips in there. So just genuinely sharing as it relates to what, you know, you're being asked or what you're doing. Right. And when I do support groups, for example, you know, around depression, anxiety, same thing. Alec, we'll talk about this. And if you want more tips and strategies, you know, there's this book you can grab, you know, at your leisure. And that's it. It doesn't have to be like, if you don't buy this book, you know, no, it's not to be like that. Just it's a resource, you know. If you have the cure to cancer, you're going to say, I have this. It helps others, you know, and kind of sharing from that genuine space.
Yeah, it's so interesting that that's the story you were told, because I remember when I was first getting started, the very first course I took was Teleseminar Secrets with mm-hmm. Alex Mendosian. And I remember having a conversation with him and he said something very similar. Mm-hmm. He said, if you had a sick child and you had to get the medicine into them, wouldn't you do everything you could to get it into them? Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. the same idea.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, thank you so much, Ellen, for being here. And, you know, I love what you do. And I just, you know, love your story and just resilience. You know, it's not giving up and pushing through, you know, finding purpose and new purpose as you go through life challenges. And I think, you know, you just what you share is just so needed for all the business people out there, all the entrepreneurs out there. you know, because people think, you know, I switch and start a business, it's going to be easy. Well, I know what I'm doing, or I love what I do. It's going to be easy. The money will come rolling. Not always, right? And then, you know, you have to keep, you know, not give up and keep pushing until you get, you know, get that breakthrough for sure.
Right. But here's the other thing of it. If you have multiple passions, I want to say a word about that, because I still love music. I still love songwriting. But what happened was, when I got into this business and people said, well, you have to focus, I put it on the back burner thinking that I would get back to it relatively soon.
Right.
And literally decades went by and I didn't touch it, because I kept thinking I have to get this to a certain place before I can do that. So one thing I would say is, don't do what I did. Like, find time to do what your other passion, you know, if you have another passion, because you don't know how long it's going to take, and you never know what's going to happen. And the writing songs gives me so much joy that I really was denying myself for a long time. Like, somehow I was punishing myself for not having made it as big as I thought I should have made it in my business or something by a certain time. And when I realized I was doing that, then I said, no, 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 this is not okay. And I started writing again. So.
No, so true. I remember, same thing, like, well, you have to focus. You can't do it all. Like, I started with one thing, focused, like, we're doing mental health and disability services. And that I was comfortable with that. And then as I kept stretching myself, you know, I'm like, I like writing, and I like, you know, coaching, and I like, you know, consulting. And then we start publishing. It was just, we kept growing. But like, you can't do all of that. That's just so much. I'm like, well, I guess when I started, maybe unbeknown to me, that's why the business is just called Grace and Hope Consulting, because we could put so many things under the umbrella. And so, you know, when you go to a website, it can look, you know, it's like, oh, there's a lot of things, but there's, you know, there's tabs for everything. If you're an individual, we have things for you. You know, if you have a business, there's things for you. If you have a church, we have things for you. That way, you know, every person, I guess, you know, entity coming there, kind of have a little bucket for themselves, and under there, there's different services for, you know, and different support or resources we provide. You know, you don't have to be, someone, you know, told me recently, you don't have to be this or that. Give yourself permission to be this and that.
Right.
And that, well, that's such a freedom for me. Just a really freeing.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something. One of the books that I did is called How to Crush It in Business Without Crushing Your Spirit.
Love
How Entrepreneurs Can Overcome Depression and Find Success. And I did book. Because I was depressed at times. And I also was hearing through the back channels that people that I saw that I knew were, quote, very successful were miserable. Yeah, they were, well, they weren't struggling monetarily, but they were struggling emotionally.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Right. They. And so I thought, okay, this has to come out from under the rug. Like, let's get honest about this.
Yeah.
And when I decided to do that, my coach said to me, oh, don't write that book, because it's not going to help you with your business. Cause my, you know, business is about helping people write books and publish them and launch them and market them. But I do a lot of business coaching with it. It's just all wrapped up together.
Right.
But, the irony of it is that I've sold more of that book than any other book.
It was
right. Cause it's got a bigger audience. There are lots of people who are entrepreneurs who aren't necessarily, for whatever reason that escapes me, don't want to be authors, or haven't found the time to be authors, but still are suffering from depression or want, you know, tips on that. So, you know, sometimes you do things because you just feel compelled to do them. It's like you have a calling to do it. And then other times you do things that are strategic for your business.
Right, right. And it's okay to do both.
And sometimes it inverts and you get the opposite of what you thought you were going to
get. Yeah. You know? No, I totally hear that.
Yeah.
Wow. So how can people connect with you? How can people support what you're doing and, you know, work with you?
They can go to booksopendoors.com.
Okay.
I have a free Rockstar Authors Toolkit there, where they'll get some of my checklists on how I teach people to write a bestseller in 3 days or less, which I've been teaching since 2004.
Beautiful.
And what are the other ones? Oh, how to write a bestseller title, 21 simple strategies to jumpstart your book marketing online, and a Kindle planner. So you get those four in the toolkit. There's also a way to connect with me there. You can book a free consultation, a bestseller breakthrough consultation. I'm happy to look at, sometimes people don't even know what to write about. So I'm happy to look at their business and see, like, you know, what path they should take, or if they're stuck somewhere, you know, what the next step is, or if they need resources, whatever. So you're welcome to do that also on the website, booksopendoors.com.
Awesome.
And then my all my books are there too.
Awesome. One-stop shop. You go there, you can find out all the great resources of book and how to connect with her and how to work with her. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here today and for just all that you do, you know, out there in the world and supporting, helping people get their stories out and so that they can make the impact that, you know, they're meant to make. So thank you, Ellen. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.